Well, good morning. It is a privilege and an honor of mine to be able to stand before you this morning and deliver a message that hopefully will indeed be beneficial to you and glorifying to our Father. As Pastor Tabor mentioned this morning, my name is Tony Langley. I am an elder here at Covenant. I am not serving at the moment, but look forward to serving once again later on. And I'd like to thank the session, Pastor Tabor, for allowing me to be here this morning and give you this message. So, in that being said, our scripture reading this morning is taken out of Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And in honor of the reading of the Word of God, I'd like to ask you to stand as we read it this morning. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Please be seated. Father, we thank You so much for allowing us to come before You this morning. And we look to You for strength. We look to You for guidance as we bring this morning's message. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. As already has been mentioned a couple of times this morning in our songs, and Pastor Tabor's mentioned it as well, is the term trust. And trust is defined as a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. To place confidence in, to be assured of. We place our trust in many different areas throughout our lifetimes. I remember as a young boy opening our doors and windows in the springtime to enjoy the cool breeze of the evening. I remember riding my bike through the country roads along wooded areas by farms and by houses. Never gave it a second thought about an intruder coming into our home or someone snatching me up to do us harm. The only thing I really worried about was a dog chasing me and biting me. Times have changed somewhat. There does seem to be a measure of trust that neighbors. There does seem to be not a measure of trust today as it was back then. Nowadays, we must keep our doors locked and a close watch on everything. Our kids, our possessions, our wallets, our personal information. Who can you trust these days? Well, I'd like to consider three areas this morning where we place our trust and who or what our trust we can be trustworthy in. I've listed these as follows, and they're in your bulletin. There's what I call a general trust. This is a trust we place in people or organizations that render a service, such as the educational system, recreational, food, entertainment, health, law enforcement, and so forth. Then there's this thing I call familial trust. This pertains to the trust we place in family members. Lastly, but certainly not least, is a divine trust. Can God be trusted to keep His promises and care for us? First, let's look at the general trust. When we look at a matter of trust, there are several areas we place our trust. When we feel sick or something's not quite right, we make an appointment to see a doctor. We trust he or she will diagnose what the issue is and prescribe the correct medication that hopefully will help cure what ails us. Sometimes they get it right. Sometimes they don't. Most of us deposit our hard-earned money in a bank, and we trust they will receive and dispense the funds where we direct them to go, and that they will not misappropriate or lose any of it. I like it when my bank calls and says, "We noticed your credit card was used in Chesapeake, Virginia. Is that you?" And I say, "Yes, we're up here visiting our daughter." I remember getting a call about a year or so ago from the bank, and they said, "My credit card number was used in another county, one that I hadn't been in." And they promptly stopped the payment, and I had to get another card. How many of you have pulled up to a gas pump and wondered if you were getting gas, if you were getting what you were paying for? I tell my wife when she sees a tanker unloading not to fill up because sediment and water in the bottom of that tank is being stirred up, and I'm not sure that the filter will catch all of it. And all that water and sludge and stuff could cause a problem in your vehicle. Have you ever made a purchase online? For those of us who buy products online, and we must give out certain information in order to receive what we've ordered. It's kind of scary sometimes, because there's been a lot of personal information stolen off the internet from Facebook. That's a big deal in my house, Facebook, and online accounts. You've probably heard the stories about it, how a certain department store has jeopardized a lot of people's information. It can be a scary thing because we put our trust that they'll protect our information. We place our trust locally in paid and volunteered organizations. We call law enforcement when we need to report a crime, or the fire department if a fire gets out of control, and trust they'll be there in a timely manner. I used to work here in Jacksonville for a local oil company right after I got married. And I used to load some of those tankers I was talking about earlier, except they were a little smaller tanker. They were about a 2,200-gallon tanker. And I would go out and we'd have to pull underneath a loading dock. And I would stand on the side of my truck while these arms, I would put these arms and this spout inside my truck, and I'd fill it up with gasoline. And the owner, Mr. Page, he would come out, and he would stand on the side of the truck with me, and we'd carry on a conversation. And while we're standing there, we could hear a siren coming, and a rescue squad would go by. And that was right on Highway 17. That was before the bypass was built. And Mr. Page would look over at me and say, "That is a bad sound." And I'd say, "Yes, sir, it is." And we'd pause a minute, and he'd look back at me. He says, "Unless you're laying there waiting for it, then it sounds pretty good." So we do hope. When we make a call, we do trust that they'll get there in a timely manner. Now, my family, we like to eat out. You could probably tell. I'm working on that. But there's a certain restaurant that we go to occasionally, actually more than occasionally, quite often. And it's called El Cerro. In fact, we go there so much, the owner when he sees me come in, he comes up and hugs my neck. Papa! Well, he's older than I am. So, but I get a dish called Eros con Camarones. Now, you don't know how long it took me to be able to say that, because I really wasn't sure what I was asking for, but it ends up being shrimp and cheese and rice, and it's pretty good. So we place a degree of trust in the people who prepare our food. Now, perhaps you may run into a disgruntled employee who the boss has ticked off, and he's going to take it out on you. No telling what you'll get in your food. Most of you drive here around in Jacksonville. Jacksonville has certainly changed a whole lot in the traffic. And so, isn't it comforting to know that you can place your trust in the other driver? Yeah, right. You don't know what condition they're in. You don't know if they're impaired. You don't know if they're texting, if they're meeting you. Are they falling asleep at the wheel? Yet, even though there are dangers, and we know there are dangers out there because we can see the results of it, we keep on driving. And I'm sure you can think of other areas in your daily lives that you go through where you put your trust in people and organizations, different areas you put your trust. Now, the second issue, or the second area I want to cover, which is B in your bulletin there, is the familial trust. I mean, if you can't trust a family member, who can you trust? I don't think you will disagree with me that the family is not quite defined as it was 40 years ago. Even so, the family is where there should be love and trust that we would not find in the public arena. Ava and I homeschooled our girls because I just couldn't put my trust in the public education system to teach what they needed to know and not teach what they didn't need to know. So they learned what they didn't need to know soon enough. No, they're not perfect. But I am very proud of my girls. In one way or another, all of them serve here at Covenant and in our community. I'm also a proud grandpa. Papa. I've heard and read about some deeply troubling abuses of trust in families here in the Jacksonville area and across our nation. I have personally witnessed some of the living conditions children live in on a daily basis aboard Camp Lejeune. I've got a friend sitting here in third row back. He can attest to the same thing. Children trust their parents to love and care for them. However, in our society today, that's not always the case. I could give several examples of misplaced trust, but there's one in which I became emotionally involved when I volunteered my services to find a 3-year-old girl, Mariah Woods. Most of you may recall the story. It was heartbreaking. The mother, Christy Woods, had a live-in boyfriend, Earl Kimry, who allegedly killed this little girl and disposed of her body. not the outcome we had all hoped for. Do you think this little 3-year-old trusted her mom to protect and take care of her? This is just one case of countless others we don't hear about. Question. Moms, dads, are you trustworthy? You realize we are raising the next generation of those who will be parents. Are you praying for your children and grandchildren? Are you reading and teaching them the scriptures? What kind of example are you setting? What about the trust relationship between husbands and wives? Husbands, are you faithful to your wives? Wives, are you being faithful to your husbands? Proverbs 31:11 states, "The heart of her husband trusts her, and he will have no lack of gain." Ephesians 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her." Kids, can mom and dad trust you? I know that nobody's perfect. And from time to time, we are going to let a loved one down. But we must take seriously the trust that loved ones place in us. It's no small matter. Lastly, number C, or letter C on your bulletin, is a divine trust. I mentioned that no one is perfect. Romans 3:23 reminds us that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We don't honor him as we should. But God is faithful and knows what everyone is going through. It may be sickness. It may be sorrow. It may be betrayal or confusion, or just not sure what direction you need to go. If you're a Christian, you can find encouragement in the following scriptures. And if you got a pen, you can write them down. If you don't, just listen. Isaiah 41:10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And Psalm 9, verse 10. "And those who know your name," you may recognize this, "and those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Here's another one. Psalm 28:7. "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him." And then in the New Testament, Romans 8:28, which is a very familiar verse, states, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose." Now, we may not see all things as being good, but God, he's the one that declares what's good. The death of a loved one, the death of this little 3-year-old, we wouldn't say was good. But we know that God is going to work through these situations to bring about that which is good. The death of Jim Elliot. Do y'all remember that story of Jim Elliot? He was a missionary down in Inca land to the Inca Indians, and he was martyred. He was killed. In fact, the story is that all five, I think it was, men had weapons and never fired it. They were all speared to death for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God caused that to work together for good because the Inca Indians came to Christ through Elizabeth Elliot's ministry, Jim Elliot's wife. And just a sidebar, Walt Shepherd was our moderator here at Covenant for a while, and his wife was the daughter of Elizabeth Elliot. The Almighty Father absolutely can be trusted. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves underneath the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him." Why? Because he cares for you. And finally, Paul, that's one of my favorites, is Paul. He tells us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that we are to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what will happen? What will happen? The Bible says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So, in conclusion, if you are in Christ, if you are indeed a Christian, these promises are yours. However, if you have never received Christ as your personal Savior, you have no claim for these promises. So, who or what are you putting your trust in? Because there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. If the Holy Spirit has revealed to you your lost sinful condition and need of the Savior's forgiveness, I encourage you to receive him today as your Savior. Confess your sins to him, repent, and place your trust in Jesus Christ today. And the Bible says, "Thou shalt be saved from eternal judgment." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you this morning, praising you and giving you glory, because indeed you are trustworthy. Throughout the scriptures, Father, we have seen how you have been faithful to those who call upon your name. We ask now, Lord, that you would help us in our hearts when we doubt, that you would forgive us and help us to trust you. Thank you for this gathering this morning. Thank you for the hearts that are worshiping you today. And thank you for those whom you are calling out of darkness into your marvelous light. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.